Over 50 years ago, a man by the name of Maxwell Maltz wrote a book in which he entitled Psycho-Cybernetics. And what his premise was is that whatever we put into our minds will determine to a great extent who we are. Now, he was just kind of the father of the mind over matter, and the as you are, think as you are kind of things today, because it just started a avalanche and an explosion of books and seminars and personal development classes throughout the years, and people have come up with the idea of human potential movement. And through these inspirational kind of stories and the different examples of people that had great sacrifices and great obstacles to overcome but became successful in their life or in their sport or in their living. And these things have just simply solidified the thought that what a person puts in their mind is really important. You fill your mind with something, it pretty well determines the kind of person that you are. And that's what Paul was trying to get us to realize and to see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, that we are, to a large extent, dependent upon what we have and what we put into our minds. Now, there's a shadowy side to this, because if we put good things in our mind, we can shape good character. If we put bad things in our mind, our character seems to lend toward that way as well. I think about harsh and harmful words. Words like dumb and stupid and failure and you can't do it. And we as parents, grandparents, have to really be careful about what words we use to influence our children. Because these words do make a difference. I think probably one of the most positive, optimistic people I know is my daughter-in-law, Paula. And she, as a mother, has convinced her children that there's just not anything they can't do. And you see it in the performances and of the things that they participate in and the kind of outlook that they have on life. These bad things that we as parents use to discourage our children are just not good, not good at all. And I think about the violent movies and the immoral movies that we have today. Hollywood has done a good job to helping out Satan with filling our minds with the wrong kind of things. And I see us becoming more and more a violent society as we allow our children to play so many of the video games that are very violent in nature. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in our society today. How that the things that we're allowing to be put in our minds are coming out in our actions. Now think about pornography. It's a huge, huge problem in our world today and in the church today. And I'm not just talking about the late night computer. I'm talking about our little guys. Our kids are constantly bombarded with pornographic images. Magazines, catalogs. Everywhere our kids look, they are being influenced in this very thing. And I think about the music and that we listen to. The rock and the rap music. Most of the time it's about rebellion or suicide or violence or drugs or sexual immorality. And we allow our kids and ourselves to listen to that. I'm a country music guy. I think you find that hard to believe, but I like country music. But even my country music, man, is about going to bars and drinking beer and women with painted on jeans, and it's just not much you can listen to anymore. That is not about those things. So there is a positive side to this idea of what you put in your mind, and there is also a shadowy side. Now, when Maxwell Malt wrote this book back over 50 years ago, he was just saying something that the wise man Solomon has said for a long, long time. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, Solomon said, "Above all else, guard your heart." Now watch this now. "For it is the wellspring of your life." Now, you follow the thoughts of Maxwell Malt's book, and it will make you help to make you the person you want to be. You follow the thoughts from God's word, and it makes you the person that God wants you to be. You know, think about your heart as a huge basket, and every day you're putting something into this basket, and after a while you fill your basket up, so something's got to come out. So, thinking about our mind like this basket, I'm going to make a statement here that I want you to listen to. I think that one of the greatest responsibility that every Christian has is to guard our hearts and our minds. So, if we're not careful about what we're putting in our basket, people, if we're not careful about what we're putting into our heart, we're going to be in trouble. And look around, at our world today. Are we not in trouble? Are we not in trouble in our 21st century America? Because we have simply allowed our baskets to be filled with that which is corruptible. And we're wondering why we're corrupted. I think about what the Apostle Paul wrote in our text this morning, Philippians 4 verse 8. When he encourages us about the things that are true, the things that are noble, The things that are pure, the things that are right, the things that are lovely, the things that are admirable, the things that are excellent, the things that are praiseworthy. And what his admonition is, let your heart dwell on these things. Think about these things. Conjugate, meditate, contemplate on these things. The things that are true, the things that are lovely, the things that are right. Let those things accent our lives. What he's trying to say is we need a new way of thinking. Instead of letting the world determine our thinking and what goes into our basket, we need to think on the right things. We need to guard our basket, guard our heart, protect our mind, for it is the wellspring, people, of our lives. But Paul also knows that the opposite is true. That if we put things that are false and cheap and impure and ugly and ungodly and shoddy and immoral into our minds, that kind of garbage is going to make our life a garbage dump. And we cannot continue to do that and expect to be the holy, righteous, pure people that God wants us to be. You or I, neither one, are going to be the first humans to break an immutable law of God. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, Paul writes there that whatever we sow, that is what we're going to reap. If we sow to the flesh, of the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit, we're going to reap eternal life. That is an immutable law of God, meaning you can't change it. It's the way that it is. Now, you say, well, how am I going to do that? And listen to me. I know that it's almost impossible to insulate ourselves from a certain amount of impure and ugly and depressing information. If you watch the evening news, or if you read a newspaper, or if you listen to talk radio, every day you are going to get torrents of depressing information, discouraging data, bad economy, inflation, robbery, shooting, terrorist thoughts, bombings, hijacking, oil spills, political scandals, political infighting, global warming, global cooling, wars, rumors of wars. And then we get information about missing children and child and spousal abuse and drug deals and rapes and murders and bullying in the schools. And then you get a call and somebody's getting a divorce and wayward children or cutbacks at work and dying parents and dying grandparents. And you pay enough attention to all of this information that we are just totally flooded with, and our minds are bombarded every single day with. And how in the world can we expect not to be influenced by these things? I'm reasonable. I live in this world. I see these things. I know what's going on. Well, what Paul is trying to do here in Philippians chapter 4 is he's trying to say we need to go on the offensive. Instead of just simply trying to be defensive because it's just too much. It's too much to defend against. So you have to go on the
offensive. There are things that we have to do in order to keep good things in our basket, good things in our minds. And so I'd like to propose a spiritual diet that all of us go on. Something that we can do starting tomorrow morning that I promise you, because it didn't come from me, it comes from the book, but I promise you will help us to begin to turn around this flow of things that are depressing us, that are holding us down. Because, you see, this is all a part of a devil plan. I mean, when he sees Christians, he says, this is not good. Not good at all. These are Christians, and I hate Christians. So, he comes up with these plans. He says, I am going to just depress them. I'm going to discourage them. I am going to just simply try to bombard their minds until their defenses are so weak they just simply are swept up in the wave of things. And partner, he don't sleep. He's 24/7 on the job. So we've got to do something. We can't just simply sit back and try to build a fence to insulate ourselves and hope that the waters don't come over the dam. So what can we do? Well, the first suggestion that God wants us to do is take a time every day to think about who God is. It's important, I believe, to set our mind on God, to remember what He's done. Remember His awesome power. We're talking about a being that simply spoke in worlds, galaxies. Came into being. How powerful is that? To think about how much He loved us, that He would send His Son to die for us. How much love is that? Who has promised absolutely, can't break His promise, won't break His promises, keeps His promise. Who has promised us that He will not let us be burdened any more than what we can bear. But that with every temptation, some know, most know, every temptation make for us a way of escape. Think about that, God. Think about that your Father owns this world, and that He has empowered you and wants to empower you to be able to withstand everything this world can throw at you. And if we think about that, to remember His sovereignty and that He's in control of everything.
find some quiet time in your day to just sit and think about your God. Reflect on the fact that when there are threatening situations, that there is an alternate course for you. And that God, just as He made a way for the children of Israel through the Red Sea, will roll back those waters of discouragement and give you some light at the end of the tunnel. Rejoice. Find time to thank God for what He's done. Because there's not a single day, I don't care how bad it is, I don't care how bad things went that day, there's not a single day you can't say thank you, God. And listen to the right kind of music. I know music is powerful, because when Saul would have these insane moments, they would call David in to play music so that it would soothe him. So instead of putting your radio on rap and hard rock, there's some good Christian stations that you could turn your radio on. So if you're going to listen to something that praises God. And just take time to look around, to visualize the world that God has made for us. We just get too busy sometimes. And simply just stopping and looking at the beauty of this world will help us to find a way out of this depressing kind of mode we get ourselves into. I just cannot tell you how important it is to take control of your mind. Lock in a Christian perspective. And dwell on the things that are right. And that starts by taking time every day to remember who God is. Number two is, in our spiritual diet, is make some time to read and to meditate and, yes, memorize God's Word. I know you say, man, y'all are on this all the time. You talk about this all the time. I hear it in all of my classes. You just have just talked about this and talked about this from the pulpit. Bible read. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Well, let's think about that just a minute. If we talk about it all the time, it just might be important. You think? If it's something we talk about all the time, just might be important, reckon? We got to read the book. We get so much stuff jamming into our minds that we have got to push it out with something. And that something needs to be biblical truth. We have to carve out time in our day. This is something you have to make time. It's not take time, it's a make time deal. You have to make time to read and to study God's Word. And I'm going to emphasize memorizing. Memorize. How long has it been since you memorized a passage out of God's Word? A long time, hadn't it? not memorized so you can show off in a Bible class or but to simply commit to memory. It's taking up a place in that basket, you see. And you memorize a passage of Scripture, and you've got a little tiny area of that brain that this worldly stuff can't get in anymore. Because you've got a passage of Scripture, God's Word memorized. And verses. Write you out a verse and put it on your mirror. So when you shave in the morning or you put on your makeup, you got a verse that you can look at. Change it every week. Read it every day. Well, I read it yesterday. Well, read it again. Read it today. Read tomorrow. Read the next day. Next week, you put you another one up there. Put you some verses around your house. Put you some verses on your refrigerator. Now, that's a good place. That's an important place. Grammy's refrigerator has pictures of important people. I'm not on it. All the grandkids are. I'm not on it. But if you can put it on your refrigerator, Grammy's refrigerator, put you a verse. So that when you open up that refrigerator door, which we do way too much, but that's a good place because we're there all the time. Get you some of the book in your mind. And then lastly today, Christian fellowship. Think about who God is, read the book, and Christian fellowship. Those are three things that we can put on our spiritual diet that will help us to fill our mind with right things. Let me ask you something. What do you think about the Johnson Church? What do you think about the Johnson Church family? Because if you don't have a right feeling and a right relationship with your brethren here in this church family, it's a good, probably a good idea that you don't have a good relationship with God, because you cannot separate the two. And so, Christian fellowship is important. Call somebody when you have these things that are that you're having to deal with. Call somebody in the church that you have confidence in it and talk to them. Spend time together. Go out to eat together. Go to the ball games together. Go to functions and concerts, good concerts, that together. Spend time together outside of the worship service. Of course, you need to spend time together in the worship service. But spend time together outside. We have fellowship once every month. That's a great time to sit down in a fellowship relationship, and so many of you are not taking advantage of that. Pray for each other. You develop a relationship with the people that you pray for. Pray for one another. I beg you to pray for me and for Jeremy and our families as we set out to try to lead this congregation and our young people in the way we need to go. It's a heavy responsibility, isn't it, Jerry? To know that your soul are dependent upon me. And I pray God I don't let you down. Not old Jeremy does too. God and these young, our young people. We need your prayers. We all need your prayers. But the whole point of this lesson, and this is it, is that if we really are serious, if you're really serious, if you're not, you can forget everything, just go on about your business. If you're really serious about living a transformed life, you are going to have to put something in your mind that the Holy Spirit can use to help you to live that kind of life. You are going to have to fill your mind with something that He can use and that you can use to be the kind of people that God wants you to be. That's the reason why Paul said, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by watch. Now watch the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're serious about it, you're going to have to start with a new way of thinking. A God way of thinking. And not a worldly way of thinking. This week, and I promise you, He is going to do it. But this week, when Satan tries to shove something in your mind and in your heart that's not right, you think about this. You think about, I'm not going to do that anymore. I've got a new way of thinking. And as Paul encourages us in Colossians 3 and verse 1 and 2, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. That new transformation begins by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Raised, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, in verse 3 and 4, raised to walk in newness of life. And then it begins by working hard at being a Christian and developing a new way of thinking. Will you come while together we stand and sing? From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, yes, power in the blood.
Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood. From your passion and pride, there's power in the blood, yes, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in that blood. There is power, there is power, wonder working power in the blood. Your King,
there's power in the blood,
power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder working power in the blood.
In the blood.
you ever so much for your presence here today. We appreciate it just more than we can say. You have done us a great honor by coming and worshiping with us today, and we take it that way. And we just hope that you'll have an opportunity to come back and be with us again. Among those that we have here today for a new beginning is Jeremy and Leah Myers. Jeremy begins today to work in the position of our youth and family minister. His girls, Sarah and Laura and Abby. And Jeremy will be working in a part-time situation until June the 1st, when he will become full-time. Right now, he has to fulfill an obligation of teaching. He will finish up that teaching this semester, and then will be full-time with us, and we're so glad to have him. We need to pray for his success, because if he's successful, then our youth program is successful. So please pray for him and his new work. Glad to have you, Jeremy. Appreciate it, man. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning before we're dismissed? Again, thank you so much, and I appreciate the kind attention today. And just keep on keeping on. That's about all we can do. But the Lord has said, if you'll just hang on, be faithful unto death, that he'll give us a crown of righteousness. We're going to come up short, probably. The one thing about the blood of Jesus is it makes up the difference. What a wonderful Father. Awesome to be a Christian. Have a great week. Douglas, good job today, man.
It's hard to tell you. It's hard to follow Randy, ain't it? But, anyway. But I'm doing my best.
Good job, pal. Appreciate it.
Remember, first and second grade on Wednesday night, still needs a teacher. If you sign up, come find me. And also 18-month-year-old. If you don't find me, those of you who have first and second graders, I'm sure they'll enjoy my class if they come to mind. So, anyway. 779, and then we'll have our closing prayer. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King.